Welcome to Empowered to Grow, the podcast. I am your host, Hanan Al-Basha.
Good evening, everyone. Good morning, wherever you are. It's not Hanan Al-Basha, it's Dr. Rana and Asma, who are taking over Empowered to Grow today. Today is a very, very special day. We are here to celebrate our dear friend Hanan with her 200th episode of Empowered to Grow. I can't believe how time flies very, very fast. We are so honored to take on the show today and let Hanan Negro take the back seat, not actually the back seat, the spotlight, and be the guest for today. So, Rana, would you like to do the honors of introducing our dear friend?
Yes. So what you don't know about Hanan Al-Basha is that Dr. Hanan Al-Basha is that she doesn't gatekeep, she doesn't perform, and she shows up fully. She shares everything she knows and she pours into others without holding back. And I think me and Asma have experienced that firsthand with her. She's a well of knowledge and she has this rare gift of giving with honest, clear, and never self-serving. She's always giving everybody around her. But the most important thing is she empowers people in every room that she walks into. She's the kind of woman who builds bridges. She creates spaces and lifts others as she's growing as well. And today, we get to turn the mic around and let her story take center stage. So, Hanan, it's time that the world hears from you.
Okay, I didn't think I'm going to start the episode with a bit of tears. I'm like, I hope the makeup doesn't smudge. Thank you so much. I couldn't have chosen, like, you know, the most amazing ambassadors and friends and sisters as you, both of you, to celebrate the 200th episode with me. And I know that you were multiple guests on the episode and I'm so on the podcast, and I'm so proud of having you in my life. Thank you.
We are so honored to be here, honestly. And me and Rana were thinking about what kind of questions should we ask Hanan? Should we let the flow go, or do we literally, like, tackle specific topics of what it means to hold the 200th episode? I think let's start with that. How does it feel to celebrate the 200th episode?
Surreal. It's I didn't think I'll get to this point, to be honest. This started as I'm having amazing conversations with amazing women from around the world back in July 2020. Of course, we all know COVID lockdown, so you only had the opportunity to chat with people. But I was getting introduced to new people, and the conversations were so rich. And they kind of really resonated with my deep belief, which is we're all the same. We're all humans. We look at each other and we can't help but be conditioned to judge color, culture, religion, you know, nationality, those kind of things. But in essence, my belief has always been, because I have been raised in a multicultural environment, it's always like I felt like I'm a global citizen and that we're all the same. The nuances that I just spoke about that could be the differentiators are just nuances. They're just very small things. But this is where the conversation and Empowered to Grow came from. I'm like, I need to record these conversations because we are also conditioned to feel like it's only about us. We're alone in this. No one else is going through this. And the more conversations we were having, and the theme being how to empower yourself and how to overcome everything that's been happening in your life, just kept coming back to me. And I'm like, okay. So it started out as just conversations with women I'm meeting around the world from all walks of life. And then, you know, as it kept going along, I started, because I was, again, I've always had my businesses for the past 15 years. I realized there's a bit more of an element that I want to talk about, because part of my values of building the business doctor on was it's the business and the human behind the business. So then that evolved into Empowered to Grow in Business. And this season, I'm like, it can't just be just the conversations from the women's side. I also wanted to bring the male viewpoint to it and kind of discuss how to be empowered to grow in business. So I I still am trying to understand what it is to be 200 episodes in. Initially, it started as 2 episodes a week because there were 2 conversations I recorded with each of my guests. I've had over 104 guests. I don't know how many nationalities, how many geographic locations they're in. I've had a number of episodes I've done by myself. So it's been a ride. I don't want it to end, but this is the last episode of this season. I'm going to take the summer off. And I already have a plan of how it will show up, how the new Empowered to Grow in Business season is going to come up in September.
That's amazing. So since we just tapped into that, you actually interviewed 100 people. Like you have 100 episodes with different people.
Yeah.
Which one touched you on a personal level? Not on a business level. Which episode, like, made you feel a shift inside of you?
Look, every conversation I've had has had an impact.
Yeah.
I believe that we imprint on each other's lives. That's my belief. And whether that imprint is a positive or a negative one, that's for you to decide, mm-hmm. and for the receiver, you know, how we receive it, because we all operate from our own perspectives. Yeah. But the one that kind of really, okay, I have to say this for context. Initially, and you guys, you know, you ladies have experienced this. Initially, I had a few questions that were set questions for all the women that I interviewed. And 2 of the questions were, what would you go back and tell your 18-year-old self? Mm-hmm. And what would you like to your 80-year-old self to thank you for? So it was like retrospective and a projection into the future. And I got to interview Eileen Green, a 93, if I'm not mistaken, a 93-year-old woman on the podcast. And what was fascinating about that was she was still active as a life coach.
Wow.
She was still, you know, she was still giving back. She was still adding value to people's lives. And that question came, you know, I asked myself, if I want that version of me to thank me, is to be still able to offer value, to be of service at that age. And I've always said, I don't think retirement is in my vocabulary. I don't anticipate, like, I'm retiring at the age of 60 or when I make that much money or whatever, because I believe we are meant to, we were created for purpose, to serve in a certain way. And I absolutely love what I do. And I don't think there is an expiry date on what I do. And I hope that I still get to do what I'm doing until the day I expire.
Wow.
I love that. I think the other question I want to ask you is, your podcast is about Empowered to Grow, right? So all the episodes about how you can empower yourself or others to grow. I think my question would be to reflect back on this and ask you, how has the podcast empowered you as Hanan to grow?
The perspectives. You know, we all have our own experiences. You go through life and whatever your experiences are, even though the headlines are the same, you know, there's the milestones in life, the graduation, the studies, the marriage, the motherhood, the, you know, the grief, the aging parents. But the details of each of our stories are different. We can never map 2 identical stories, right? We know that the 3 of us, for example, have had kind of parallel lives where we can see the milestones being mapped and the healing and the transformation and the trauma, but we can then never claim that it's the same. And that for me was the part of realizing that being empowered to grow, because I always ask, that is the one solid question that I've maintain the past 199 episodes, is I always ask my guest or guests at the end, what does Empowered to Grow mean to you? Mm-hmm. And the amount of perspectives that you can get from just 3 words is fascinating. It's mind-blowing, because some see it very personal. Some see it very abstract. Some relate it very business tactical. And others are all about the personal part of that perseverance of, getting knocked down 7 times and getting up 8, you know. So that for me has been that richness of just 3 words that I just thought, empowered to grow. How difficult could that be? You would expect similar answers, but that's a project I have to work on. It's just extract from these guests what empowered to grow means to them. And you can see the diversity of that. For me personally, being empowered to grow has always been going back to my core. It's both internal and external. I feel like sometimes I'm kind of using and absorbing that power from outside, listening to empowering things. Like, this is my morning. It's my morning routine. Every day I have to listen to an empowering message. And then I have to stop and I have to reflect. I have to see, what does empowerment mean to me? How can I show up for myself today? How can I not let myself down today? And I think that is the essence of being empowered to grow, is respecting where you are today, what's happening around you, and finding the drive within you to show up in whatever capacity you can show up in. You're not supposed to be a superhuman every day. And that's where I hate it when it's like, oh, you're a superwoman. I'm not. I'm just trying my best, because that puts an expectation and an anchor on you that you have to show up amazingly every day. But being empowered to grow is understanding that today I'm feeling the heaviness of life, and that's okay. Showing up means just getting out of bed, driving my son to school, and just coming home and binge watching Grey's Anatomy. That's okay. Tomorrow it's about, yep, I'm creating a strategy for, you know, a multi-million dollar company, and I'm supporting that. And that's how I can be empowered to grow tomorrow. So this is it. It's a very personal and very subjective interpretation of just 3 words.
Wow. Yeah. I like that. I usually enjoy when you ask that question. And the one episode that stuck a lot with me is the messy middle. Yes. That's the one that's stuck.
This is my tattoo.
So that's, you know, that was going to be the next question. Tell us a little bit how and why you came to do the episode on the messy middle.
I've always been fascinated with butterflies. I don't know why. It's just when I see a butterfly, because again, I live in Qatar. We live in Qatar as well, myself, and it's a desert. So whether we like it or not, butterflies are not.
I live in the desert as well.
Yeah, you're in Arizona. In
I started seeing butterflies for some reason recently. So yeah, I don't know what that means, but awesome. Okay, why not?
So for me, there's this thing about butterflies, like just seeing them, I'm like, oh my God, they're like, I feel this is going to be that kind of a day, you know? It's like, I saw a butterfly. Okay. And I remember when I took my son to London and we went to London Zoo, there was a butterfly tent, and I just went in there and I just sat in peace, you know? It's just like butterflies of all shapes. The fascinating thing about butterflies is they start out life as a caterpillar. And, you know, they then, when that phase of their life ends, they end up in a cocoon. And then from the cocoon, they rise as the butterfly, provided that the butterfly life is actually a very short-lived one. It's not like a very long, beautiful life that they have. But the very fascinating fact that I dug into was when they're in the cocoon, it is a very messy period of their lives. You know, it's literally a restructuring for them. It's an emergence. And I realized when I reflected on my life and each of our lives, every human, we go through the messy middle. We start as something. We start as kids, and then we go to university. And that's the messy middle of trying to find out who you are and your identity and what you want to do for the rest, or you think, you know, that's going to be the decision of what you want to do for the rest of your life and stuff. And then you emerge as the graduate, that butterfly that's all excited about life. And then life hits you, and you have to do this all over again. And I think unfortunately for some people, they get stuck in the messy middle. They lose their identity. They don't know how to get out, and they feel like life is happening to them, not for them. And I'm not taking away from life can get ugly and it can get messy. And there are a lot of traumas and ugliness in the life that we are living. But every time you emerge, that's not the end game. You go back in again and you go into the cocoon, you go into the messy middle and you reemerge. And just reflecting on my own life, you know, from I was an intended computer science major back when I was 16 years old going to university. And in university, I'm like, no, I hate this. I'm not like, I don't want to spend the rest of my life just talking to a screen. I'm all about people and stuff. And my GPA reflected that. I transformed into journalism and mass communication and found myself. And then I graduated, worked in TV production. It was fascinating. I'm like, no. And I had to reinvent myself again into marketing and public relations. And then that ended that chapter when I became a mother. And then I'm like, reinvent myself again. And then I went into business. And I found my kind of my calling. But that doesn't mean that it stopped there, because like where I started with the business was just, what do we know or what are we excited about? And now I'm like, what is the next thing and what's exciting me about tomorrow's business? And now I'm a co-founder in an AI company. I was like, you know, I wouldn't have said I'd be here 3 years or a year ago. But it's about that. It's going through that messy middle and reinventing you and your vision and your purpose and finding something that is in alignment with you at this phase of your life. We are not stuck to who you are today. We have evolved over just a period that we've known each other, you know, over the last 4 to 5 years. And I love that we can evolve. And that's why I tattooed this butterfly, to remind me of this evolution, that even though you might be going through the messy middle now, you will get your wings. You will emerge out of the cocoon, and eventually you will get back again, and you will do this over and over again. And that's, again, that's another embodiment of being empowered to grow, is to grow those wings, lose the wings, go back in again, and redo this, just because there is still untapped potential in us and in our lives.
Wow. I love that. I love it. I love it.
Never, by the way, I never thought of the cocoon that way. Like I'm reflecting right while you were saying it. And for me, cocoon phase used to be like nesting, resting, or like within patience until the new phase of life comes. But I think it really resonated with me, because that's true. Like within that transformation is when it happens, like the nitty gritty, the building, the shedding off like the layers that you don't need anymore. And coming into your own presence. And thank you for that. I'll reflect on this even more and more.
Points there, Asma, it's when we're resting, we're actually transforming as well.
Yeah.
True.
Like resting doesn't mean you're doing nothing. Resting just means you're giving your body, your psyche, your mentality, the time to process everything you're going through and to heal and
to grow.
To create something. Yeah, and to grow, to create something that wasn't there. Even that peace of mind. It's like, you know, I keep using the metaphor of letting the dust settle after we get sandstorms. So we know about dust settling after a sandstorm. It's letting the dust settle. That is your resting. But sometimes, even in a sandstorm, new shapes emerge. Mm-hmm. You know, the dunes take shape in sandstorms. New paths could be forged in that. And that in itself is a beautiful thing, that the only constant thing is change. But sometimes the change, you take it on the go during the busyness of life. And sometimes the change is just, as you said, is just sitting and nesting and relaxing and waiting for it to take shape with you as you go along.
I like that.
I think something just to go back to, you said emerging new paths, and we'll take it on forward on what's it looking like for the next 200 episode. But I think one thing just to tell you, Hanan, I would love if you're going to do, for example, the answers of Empowered to Grow from every single episode you've made. That's a mini docuseries. I would love to watch that, by the way.
Yes.
This needs to happen.
I'm intimidated by the task, though. Even though I'm using Wizard, which is an AI platform, but I'm still intimidated by the task. Maybe this, actually, now that you've encouraged me, I think this will be my summer project. I think I'll launch it before before the new season comes out. It's just like, this is a recap of being empowered.
Oh my God, that's going to be so... Can you imagine 100 people from around the world sharing their perspective on the same thing?
I'm really excited about it. Before it was a task, now it's an exciting project.
Yeah.
Because you had the interviews, you've heard the words, but I'm sure when you put them all together, like, you'll see the synchronicity, the similarity, and the differences of what it means. And I feel like this is so beautiful, a reflection of the mini world that you created within the podcast.
Yeah. So and the fascinating thing is that every like, I was going through all the interviews because I was like trying, because we were preparing for this, and I was like, hang on a second, you know, how many people did I actually interview? Because I know it's not 200 people, because I had some solo episodes. There are episodes I had two people, they had three people. And I was going through, and I'm like, oh my God, I have no recollection of it. I have no idea. And I'm like, seriously? Oh my God, I even forgot I interviewed that person. Which is, I don't mean it as disrespectful to the person, it's just because there were so many. And some, I'm like, oh my God, I recall... like the feeling I had. I can't claim that I can recall the 200 episodes words, but I recall how I felt during and after. And this for me was another thing, was there were episodes, and again, I'm being very transparent, there were episodes I'm like, you know, it wasn't really impactful.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that everyone has to be a superstar to be allowed this space and the stage. But I'm saying that, you know, maybe going, associating it with the messy middle and the butterfly, some people I could feel that they're figuring it out.
Yeah.
And others are like butterflies and ready to go back in again and do something else.
Yeah.
And I think these are the most impactful, just because they found their wings and they're flying, they're soaring, you know.
Yeah.
Butterflies really don't soar that much, but still they're creating.
Hanan, do you have a number?
For
do you know a number of people who were on your podcast?
104 exactly. 103
exactly.
Wow. 103. Yeah. Because I actually counted them. I had to go through. Hang on a second. Who is oh my God.
Yeah, it would be nice if we have them on a map and just like
Now you're adding more projects to my task. Right? Okay, we'll see about that. So like, you know, I know you love that. There's such a great visual representation, but I'll see. But I know for sure, like, you know, because going through the countries, and it's fascinating, of course. So there are people of different nationalities and different geographies. So I interviewed an Indian in Australia. I interviewed, you know, a Greek in Switzerland, you know, so those kind of things. There were, of course, a lot in the States, I guess, because it was just connecting was easier. Yeah. Of course, some in Qatar, Egypt. I had a few in UAE. I think it was one in Saudi, a few out of Australia, a few out of Europe, like England specifically, Portugal, France, like just looking at. When I was going through every episode, I was recalling the nationality and the location. I had out of Bangladesh, I had out of India, I had out of South Africa. So that was the beautiful thing about it. It's just those, again, it's part of my purpose in life. I always felt that. I had this kind of epiphany when I was in school, and for a lot of people, I think they already know this. So I went to a British school in Kuwait. I was born and raised in Kuwait. I'm Egyptian. I was born and raised there as an expat. And I had this epiphany when I was maybe 13 or 14 years old in the playground in school, that I was meant to be a connector. Like, this is my destiny. And I love how both of you kind of mentioned it in the intro, that it was just about that. It was about East and West and North and South. And it's just that, this is who I am and this is what I'm meant to be. And I think that's why computer science as a major didn't resonate with me. But those kind of things, and I think this is what I felt every time I got on the podcast with a new guest. There are people that I had never met before. You know, they were sent to me through podcast bookers. I was like, okay, they sound interesting. And there was no chemistry in the call. And I'm like, it's okay. You know, this is their stage. I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I have to admit that, you know, no one is everyone's cup. You can't be liked by everyone. You can't connect with everyone, but it's a gift to be able to connect with so many, even if it's just one call, one conversation. And I think this is the blessing that we have as humans, that ability to connect and to communicate and to resonate and to have that soul matching every time you meet someone. It's not very often, but when it happens, it's magic.
Yeah.
Definitely. I saw you were going to say something and I stopped you. I'm
just going with the flow. I have a question right now. I don't know if that's what I was going to say or not. So we were talking about the impact and the amazing success that you had, but obviously nothing comes from easiness. Like, there are certainly some challenges that you have gone through to be able to stick to all the different episodes and get to 200. 200 is not a small number. First of all,
yeah,
so proud of you. And you should be even more proud of yourself, which I know you are. But what were some of these challenges that really you felt like, I don't know what to do, but then at the same time, no, I need to stick to this and I have a bigger purpose.
I think for people who have never kind of had their own podcast, they don't really know the behind the scene tediousness of having the podcast, especially when you don't have a team. Like, okay, I don't do production, as in I never edited an episode. Like, I think one guest though asked me to remove one sentence she didn't like. I'm like, I don't really do that, but again, I don't want to. I'm not doing this to embarrass anyone or to make them uncomfortable. This is their stage. So I don't edit in that sense. And I don't have a team. Like, at a point in time, I had a podcast manager. But the tediousness of the tasks to be able to get the episode out. So I have to identify speakers. If I'm not getting kind of pitched by podcast bookers or something, then I have to identify people I meet that they have something to share and ask them, and then coordinate a time that works for them and works for me. And, you know, initially I had it scheduled on my calendar that I had two days, I think, and they can choose morning or evening, again, because I'm working with different time zones. So I had to get the logistical part in order. And then we do it. Initially, it was recorded. Now it became live. So I'm, you know, using StreamYard to be able to stream to multiple platforms at the same time. But once we're done with this, and again, I don't have a problem with the conversation. I don't prepare for conversation. I know who the person is, of course, you know, but I prepare the announcement. I prepare the graphic. We get on the episode. That is done. Then I upload the episode to, you know, the platform where it goes to Apple Podcasts and it goes to Spotify. And then I edit, I get snippets. So two or three snippets out of the episode to share again, to encourage more people to view it. So this tediousness of the tasks related to it, even though I am using AI platforms now to support this, so that now it's taking much shorter than when I initially started, where I had to listen to every episode and literally write down the statement that I want to extract the clip from the episode 4 and stuff, and showing up and doing it over and over and over again. That was challenging, because there were times I'm like, why am I even doing this? And then the universe conspires to send you a message. Like, I get a lady I know in Canada sending me a photo of the podcast on her screen saying, I'm catching up on the episodes now. I love the conversation. I'm like, oh my God, that's why I do this. Like, you know, now I have to continue doing this. And I'm not claiming, and of course, you know, I'm a human at the end of the day. I don't have the, oh, we have 1 million downloads. And I used to get discouraged by this. It's like, oh my God, like, I've got 10 downloads, 100, 1,000, but nothing that went viral, like everyone who does a podcast, and you know, you find Diary of a CEO and Mel Robbins did the podcast, and that was the most successful, and sponsors are chasing them. And I'm like, I don't really want sponsors, because I always felt if I go into the sponsorship route, I wouldn't, and again, this is my personal point of view, that I would lose parts of my authenticity of what I'm bringing, because now I have people that I'm accountable to. They are paying me money, so they need to be inserted in these episodes. So I didn't do it for the money. I really did it because I believed the people I interviewed, like yourselves, your amazing powerhouses, had something to share with the world. And I was honored to offer that space and that stage to be able to share it. I would love to have, you know, more eyes and more ears listening to all the nuggets of wisdom that are being shared. And this is what kept me going. And again, going back to what we were talking about, the rest and the respect and the space to give yourself, I decided that, you know, summer, I'm going to take off the summer. I cannot take on the responsibility of that. Sometimes it was just part of the summer. Sometimes just like 2 months. It's okay. You know, it's not like no one's going to miss it, but I'm saying I can still come back. And I still have a lot of episodes people can go back and listen to and stuff. And this for me became that drive every time. And I think I've told you multiple times, I'm like, khalas, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm pulling the plug. This is the easiest thing to get off my plate, especially when I was overwhelmed with so many responsibilities. I just get this kind of, I want to say tug at my heart. Is like, someone needs this. Someone needs to hear this. You know, there's something being said here that they might not realize somewhere that they needed to hear it unless they hear it. And you are that catalyst. So keep showing up.
Wow, Hanan. Okay, I'm going to ask you, I have so many questions.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you this question. If you would get to go back 200 episodes back, what would you tell Hanan 200 episodes before, earlier? What advice or message would you share with her?
You're doing this for the right reasons. Initially, I thought this was just another stepping stone for something. I hadn't planned on what. It was just another stepping stone, another way to show up, another way to be active online. Because, you know, how, again, we are conditioned or we are pressured by, you have to be visible in social media. You know, you have to find something to do it. And for me, it was just that. It's just reminding her that of my why, which I tell everyone I work with, like even in business consultations, remember your why. Why are you doing this? And the why has not shifted in 200 episodes.
Wow.
The why has been that you have a gift, being able to connect with people, of having these organic conversations. That's why when people keep asking me, like, do you have questions? No. And some people, of course, freak out because, like, oh, I can't talk. I have very close people to me, and they come and we're, again, this is virtual. It's not like we're in a real studio or anything. And like, she'd freeze up or he'd suddenly become robotic. And I'm like, what happened to them? And I'm like, okay, maybe that's why people need questions, because they need to be prepared. But that's the point. I didn't want it as a question, answer. I wanted it as a conversation to mimic these conversations I was having. Sometimes I'd started with, you know, I help people by saying, okay, let's have a title, because again, it's based on the expertise of the guest coming or the story they want to share. But there are times I drifted off just because the conversation flowed somewhere else. And I wanted always, my purpose was always to make anyone on the podcast feel comfortable. Feel like there was a guest where we started discussing infertility and the IVF treatments that we had to be able to, you know, become mothers. And that's something people would shy away from. I found that vulnerability is a superpower. And once you embody it, you allow people to embody it too, because we're not allowed that space in our everyday lives and in our professional lives. We are told to, you know, have a persona that shows off your attitude and professionalism and stuff. And I got berated a lot for being human, for being a mom, for bringing up my son and, you know, in conversations. But that never stopped me from being who I am. And I think the thing that I go back and tell myself 200 episodes ago, remember your why. Remember to that your gift is not just for you, it's for everyone you cross paths with. And remember that you will become a richer person in mindset and in psyche and in emotionally and everything else just by going through this experience, which I feel right now.
This is so beautiful, Hanan.
Thank you.
It speaks to why I started doing this, because you said I did this out of authenticity, of being authentic to myself. And I think that's what you bring to every single episode, no matter what the topic is. And energy shows. It's not just about the words that come out of your mouth. It's about how you embody them, what you bring to this conversation, how you kind of end it. And I love that so much about you. And I love how you intricate and say these words. Me and Rana are always saying, mashallah, you're so amazing how you use your words and how you play with them. You see it online. You see it on where she is. Thank you. Powerhouse.
Thank you. I love you, ladies. But the point is, I think because this was also my outlet to just be me, all of me, that's what kept me going. There were days I wasn't feeling well, like physically well. I have a migraine, but I'm like, I committed to this. And it's fascinating how after the 30 minutes, 50, 60 minutes of the conversation, I come up and I'm like, okay, I'm feeling better. I'm glad I did this. It was like, you were just like lying on the sofa and unable to move before that and not in the mood. But I think, again, it's because I'm being authentic. I don't show up and wear a smile. I am smiling, and I'm blessed to be able to have that smile that shows from my eyes, even when I've got a lot of shit happening in my life, or even when I really can't do it, or even when we're really not connected, I can feel we're not connecting. But I'm genuinely interested, because as I said, everyone has a story and has an experience. And just giving them the opportunity to be able to share it, because I don't know who on the other side of the world could be kind of really, their life could be alternating right now. Because I've had life alternating moments listening just to podcasts or listening to someone talk about something. And I think just having, I think the privilege to be able to bring that experience to someone, 200 episodes later, I think I'm still privileged and honored to have that.
We're so happy to hear your voice and your words all over. By the way, for those of you who don't know, Hanan has a store now, Empower to Grow store, that has her words on things that you can purchase. So
has her Instagram account,
Empower to Grow
this
store.
This is my Tumblr. These are my words. She could summon the sunlight on a rainy day. And I think that for me was my anchoring thought. If I could do that for anyone I cross paths with, then that would be my legacy.
Yeah. Thank you, Asma, for mentioning the store. I think Hanan doesn't sell her words as much as this.
Oh my God,
this is the sign. My bracelet just broke everywhere.
Okay. Empowered to Grow store, so empoweredtogrow.store, became the evolution of this. I don't think of Empowered to Grow as a podcast. It's a movement. And I even had a Facebook, or still have a Facebook group that had the same name and everything. And I think everything is just an evolution of the path. I wanted to have these words. I wanted to have these messages to people, for people to have on a mug or on a tote bag or on a t-shirt or on a tumbler or water bottle, just to remind themselves that sometimes, you know, life happens. We get busy. We get overwhelmed. We get sidetracked a lot. But just if you can have a few words to anchor yourself and bring yourself back, to empower yourself through the day, through the cocoon, the messy middle phase, then I wanted people to have that. And I really hope that it resonates. The graphics are amazing. And funny enough, they've been ready for 2.5, 3 years ago. Thank you, Stacey. She created those for me. And I had been postponing and postponing it. And then I realized that this needs to go out. So, yeah.
They were in the cocoon, and now they're ready to become a butterfly.
Exactly. Yes. They're the butterflies. Funny enough, I don't have a butterfly graphic, so I need to create that. Maybe I'll even take a photo of my of my tattoo and make sure it's there somewhere.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay, so Esma, do you want to go with a fun and quick questions?
So me and Rana were thinking, because we were also kind of brainstorming from our end. We didn't give, by the way, Hannah, the questions that we just like were aligning from our end.
I didn't even know they were communicating behind me. I have my back to be able to plan for this, but yeah, okay.
Well, I had to, we were speaking to you. Okay, so we were thinking of a very like fast, rapid set of questions. So answer with whatever comes to your mind first, all right? So first question is, one guest you'd love to have but haven't had yet?
Mel Robbins. Years ago, when I first started, I sent her and I got the automatic response. Thank you so much. I didn't, you know, it's like the team response of, we don't have time for this. And she didn't even have her podcast yet. Now I guess it will be a lot more difficult. But I, again, we were talking about the resonance of the parallel paths. She's 10 years ahead, but I can see the milestones just kind of in replications of the highlights. And I would love to have that conversation with her. And again, I respect her so much that she's a person that shows up so authentically and with a lot of vulnerability and has had a huge impact on millions of people around the world. I would love to have her. And I think every other person who I didn't interview yet, and they don't have to be superstars or celebrities. And I think this, again, was part of my purpose.
Yeah.
We are conditioned to believe that it's only the influencers, the one with the millions of followers and the thing that have something to say. Every one of us has something to say. And this is why I always wanted to make it that. It's just every person that I have the opportunity to get on the podcast, and I'm going to get on the podcast.
Beautiful.
Long answer to your rapid fire questions, but go ahead.
We'll take it. Second question, your favorite episode title and why? I know you said Eileen, but what would be your favorite? Yeah. What would be your favorite episode other than that one?
I would lie if I say I remember the titles of the episodes.
The guest,
but there was another one. Speaking of the messy middle, there was one I remember that it was inspired by my son, and I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was something about are you plump as a grape or dried out as a raisin, something along those lines. Because one day he came back from school. Again, he's 14 years old. So of course, as a teenager, he's dramatic in so many ways. It's like, oh my God, I feel like, you know, I need this school to end. That was the end of last year, actually. So he's 13 then, and near the end of the school year. He's like, I feel I've been sucked dry like a raisin all year. I'm so ready for the summer. And I'm like, seriously? Like, it's as if you're actually putting in the effort. But that inspired me to have a podcast episode. I remember I even had it in Cairo when I went back to Egypt for the summer, talking about how we need to assess for ourselves if when we dry out like a raisin and we're so overwhelmed and sucked dry by everyone around us, and how we need to plump ourselves back up as grapes to be able to keep going. I think that was one that I recall, but I have no recollection of the rest of the 199 episode titles.
It's okay. We'll take whatever came to your mind right now. All right. Third question is, if your podcast had a theme song, what would it be?
What was the song we used in the Global Businesswoman event? My God, it was something like Rise Up. It was like this power song. I remember
you were obsessed with it. I don't remember what the song was.
I remember I was listening to it on the way, and I'm like, this is the song, I have to use it. And since then, and this is the thing I love about music, is it's like perfumes, you know, like there or like mm-hmm. smells, when a smell takes you back.
Yeah.
But for me, like songs are, they kind of create an own core memory for you, that every time you listen to it, you go back to not just where you were, how you heard it, but how you felt during that time. And I know that, oh my God, I have to remember the song now. Every time I listen to this song, I go back to this very, I think it was an amazing time in our lives where we're bringing the global businesswoman, we're doing Power Up, and the song just resonated so much with everything that we were creating. And yeah, that would be the theme song for Empowered to the song.
Okay, wait, I have to find the song. I'm going back to chat group.
Yeah, right. I'll find it. I'll find it right now. This has to. Right. This has to. Okay,
Rana, if you can try to find, I'll ask the last question. So, a word that describes your journey. So, one word that describes your journey till now, with the podcast.
Ooh, that's difficult. Perseverance. Perseverance. Sometimes I even ask myself, where did that come from? Like, what is making you get up again and go at it again and try again and do it differently? And it's just a drive. And it's this one of perseverance that just, that, you know, there is still potential. There is still willpower within me. There is still something that I'm working towards to be able to serve more people, to impact more lives, to bring something to the world. And I'm not done. And you know, I get beat down. I literally on so many different occasions, so many different formats and ways. But somehow I find it within me to persevere and to get up again and to go at it and just do it. I don't know.
Wow.
Love that.
I have two more questions. Do we still have time, Hannah?
Yes, we can have all the time we want. This is our podcast.
really quick questions.
Yeah.
The first one is, if you get to choose any city in the world to host your podcast from?
To host my podcast from? I have a soft spot for London. I think maybe because I went to a British.
You're trying school. To manifest in this episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to manifest Hanan's next podcast.
My first school trip as a 16-year-old was to go to London by myself to visit family, friends, and stuff. London has a soft spot for me. Every time I go there, it's kind of, I'm grounded. I think option number two would be New York. Another, I don't know why, soft spot, even though it's loud and it's busy and it's, you know, but between London and New York, I would love that. And not just London as in central London, like the outskirts of London where it's beautiful. A green space, I think. Greenery is a thing for me right now. I need a green space where there are windows and I can see greenery outside. Yeah, other than that, it would be... It would be a kind of somewhere in the south of Italy or south of Spain with the beach, because that's my other grounding space. So it's either greenery or somewhere with a sea. So
to sum it up, it's Europe.
Or states. York is over there, but I think
there's somewhere in the desert.
and Europe is again, location wise, it's pivotal to have people fly in and stuff. So
let's do collective manifestation for Hanan, where she's gonna have Mel Robbins in a podcast in London.
London, oh,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll fly business class, first class. Where's that song? I'm sorry, I need to find it.
I'm sorry, I couldn't find it.
For it. I'm looking.
I think it's a different chat group.
No, I'm looking actually because I know it's on the It's on my Feel the Power playlist on, oh, there it is. It's called Wow by Toby Romeo. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
There so maybe go. We'll link that. Maybe Hanan, you will link that in the episode.
I'll try to see how I can put it as, you know, kind of,
Hanan, you know how when we met, we were both like in the grinding and building, and we were both, or at least myself, I was buying into that culture, the bro culture of let's hustle and work 30 hours a day. How did you do all of this? You're a co-founder of an AI company. You've done 200 episodes on your podcast. You're an amazing mentor. I think I can speak on my behalf and Asma's behalf. You're one of the most supportive friends I've ever had in my life. You're a caregiver for your son and your parents and your sister and your wife and all of that. How were you able to do, oh, are you still able to do all of this?
Okay, brace yourself. You've heard this before, but let's tell people. I think one of the most important things that transformed my life around is the realization that I need to be my priority, the first priority in my life. And having said that, that meant it's not, and again, as women and as sisters and daughters and mothers and wives, we're made to believe that when you prioritize you, by default, you're selfish and you're self-centered. And that means that, you know, you're letting go of your responsibilities or failing others around you. Mm-hmm. But when I realized that when I empowered myself by prioritizing myself in my life, I became a better mother and a better wife and a better sister and daughter and friend and business person and everything else. Because, you know, Oprah says this, you can't give from an empty cup. And when you're just pouring to everyone around you and your cup is empty, you become the victim in your life. But more importantly, your giving is coming out of this dry space that now gets tainted by resentment and by subliminal anger and stuff, because you feel like you have to, not like you get to or you want to. So when I realized that, then I started saying, okay, I am literally breaking down this notion of balance. We have been taught that life, work, balance. You know, you do this and you do that and you go to work and you go home and you're a wife and you're a mother and you're a sister and you're a daughter and blah, blah, blah. And you are not in that equation. So balance does not exist, because every time you try to do it, you are breaking down pieces of you in the process. And I kind of came up with this concept of synergy. And this ties into everything we had been saying earlier, that I have to have synergy with the phase I am in my life, with what is happening in my life. I cannot, what I was trying to do and what I got dubbed as superwoman trying to do when my son was a year old and 2 years old, when I first started business and I was building this, this was not in synergy, because I was collapsing. I was collapsing literally, physically, mentally, emotionally, and everything else. But when I started accommodating that this is how much of my resource pool is available to me at this phase, and the resource pools, and I've spoken about this a lot, and you will find it in multiple episodes, you have five resource pools. Everyone has five resource pools in their lives that they can tap into. You have your time, you have your energy, you have your money. Even if you have no money, that's still, there's a pool there. You have your knowledge and your experience that you acquire across life. And you have any other tangible or intangible assets. That could be you have an office with a team that is 100 people, or that means that you have a lady who comes and cleans your home. That's an asset in your life. Now, you look at these resources and you see, how can I have synergy with them? If you are a mom to a toddler, as an expat with no support from family and, you know, no one to support you in that sense, chances are your energy and your time are non-abundant at that time. They're actually quite scarce. But you could have some money that you can bring in something to or someone to support you. You could have some knowledge that you can tap into or you can build up to support you in that phase or to invest in your business or to do this. And by understanding that I'm using synergy, the times that my son needs me, that's it. Okay, I'm good. I need to be with my son. I'm not going to focus on building my next offering for the business over these next 2 days. My son is ill. I have to accommodate that. But now my son is older. So he's 14. He's a teenager. He's a lot more independent. You know, I have more time and I have more energy and I capitalize on that now. But I cannot be compared with someone who has two toddlers at home. Like my sister, my youngest sister, she had two toddlers and she was studying towards her doctorate degree. She's a dentist and she worked at university. And she was blaming herself of how she cannot get this all done. And I'm like, because you are not respecting the phase you are in. Now, this phase could be a few years where now you can have more independence or they could become more independent. That whoever is relying on you, this could be parents, it could be work colleagues, it could be your business, even your business sometimes at infancy needs you all the time, but as it matures, it doesn't that much and stuff. Or it could be a few days. And when I started respecting the synergy of life, I started realizing that I'm a lot more abundant with my resources than I made myself believe initially. So yes, I can take on roles because it doesn't necessarily have to be something I do every day. Like I don't distribute my day on my schedule on a daily basis. I have 5 hours of being a mom and 6 hours of doing my business and 2 hours of to myself. No, today it could be 12 hours of working on my business. And I have a slot for my family that's from 3 to 6 p.m. That's family time. And I put in the best effort to respect that every single day. That's when we eat. That's when, you know, we watch something together. That's when I nap if I can. You know, that I work before that and I work after it. I have commitments before it. I have commitments after it. Doesn't have to be every day. Saturday is my day off. I'm literally a couch potato on a Saturday. I even try not to leave the house if I can, you know. So respecting where you're at in your life, mm-hmm. your commitments, your responsibilities, your dreams, your vision, your resources, then it becomes more doable. But there are also times like, you know, as you said, so I'm a co-founder in a business. I have my own business, The Business Doctor, which is a knowledge dissemination platform, which includes the podcast, the newsletter weekly. And, you know, I work as a consultant and I work as an advisor and all of this. I used to be the managing director of the Founder Institute, GCC chapter, which is a pre-seed accelerator program. So for startups, I mentor in different things. I'm an advisor on a number of boards. You know, I do this, I do that. But there comes a time where you say, you have to do these periodic, I call them kind of audits of your life with everything that's around. That could be on the personal side. It could be your friendships, your relationships, your finances, your commitments and everything, and say, is everything that's on my plate right now serving me or not? Not serving me like as in, am I adding, like serving me as in, is it giving me back money, love, whatever? But serving me as in, am I still being excited about it? Am I still getting value from it, adding to it, and it adding value to my life? We have to be selfish about some things. If I'm not getting the satisfaction of serving, then this is not serving me. And this serving could bring you back the financial gains. It could bring you back the recognition. It could bring you back the internal validation and fulfillment that you're looking for. But there comes a point where you will say, this is no longer in alignment with me, with the phase I'm in my life. And it's okay to let it go, because we are not determined. Our value is not determined by the titles that we have, but how we show up in our lives. And I have to keep reminding myself of that, because sometimes I can't help but get attached to a title. Oh my God, but if I step out of this brand validation, I'll be missing out on. But I'm like, but hang on a second. This actually frees up so much of my resources that now something that is a lot more in alignment with me can step into, can be attracted into my life. And that's the very long answer to your question about how to do it.
By the way, Hanan, so ladies and gentlemen, this is another gem that Hanan just shared with all of us. She didn't gatekeep anything, but just you saying all of those, I don't think that it applies only to women. I think it also applies to men. And I'm so glad that you're bringing in all of those points of views into conversations, because we're missing out in that aspect.
Yeah.
Because a lot of men, they want to be around their families. They want to honor the stages that they're going through in life, but they're not given that permission. Because so women, we have those voices now, but the more I look around and I see how my husband is doing things and how everybody around is doing things, men don't have that culture yet, where it's all about keep the hustle. Everything goes next, second. What you need to focus on is the money, the business, the growth, and so on. The family and so on are not as important. And unfortunately, actually, men are more shamed than women when they decide that, no, I'm going to take the day off because it's my daughter's birthday. I'm going to take the day off because I want to spend Eid, or I want to spend the holiday or Christmas with my family.
And that's the point, I think. And this is why, going back to why Empowered to Grow evolved into the version it is today, that it included both voices, because we have a lot of preset notions and judgments mm-hmm. on each other, and we don't talk about it enough. You know, if a man talks about taking a day off for mental wellness, everyone's like, no, you, as you said, you should be grinding. You have responsibilities and stuff. But we need to encourage one another, both. You know, we, at the end of the day, we're partners in life. In every role, we're partners in life, and we need to encourage each other. Like, you know, even my co-founder in the business is one of my best friends. And he's like, you know, I'm so tired. And he was going through a lot of personal stuff, and I haven't taken a rest. I'm like, take the day off. No, I have to work. No, I'm like, no, seriously, take the day off. You know, we need to recharge, because who benefits when we collapse? This was one of my very hard learned lessons. Yeah. I literally reached a point where I was collapsing. I go to the hospital. The doctor wants to hospitalize me. And I'm like, no, I can't, because, you know, my responsibilities and stuff. And I'm collapsing. I'm throwing up blood. And I keep going because I have responsibilities. Who will benefit? I reached a point where I couldn't even carry my son, because I would literally take him and fall, because I was so weak. And in this is the part about being able to give yourself, so when you come and you are present with your family and at work and in with your friends and with everything, that you come from this place of love, that you're not coming out of resentment because you have to attend this thing with them, because you have to be there, because you have to fulfill. And this, if we change that for ourselves, it can't be forced onto us. This is another part of being self-empowered to grow. That you change it, but the change has to also come gradually. when you unplug and you do it so drastically, you also alienate people because they're like, what the hell just happened? Why are you being so cold? It's not about being cold, but it's about giving yourself this space to respect your pools of resources. And everyone starts understanding because you start showing up from a different elevation rather than just who you were and who you are and what you are doing right now.
I love that. I'm done with my questions, Asma. Do you have more questions?
All right. I think we're over an hour now. By the way, we keep talking forever. Us three, we have conversations that can take hours and hours.
Forever. We only stop because we have a commitment, but other than that, we can keep going. But
yeah. We have a commitment and we have other responsibilities and other roles that we need to play. So I think my question is, and maybe then we can wrap it up if you have, Rana, any question, is how, so now you're at the 200th episode, right? And we're going back to the episode and celebrating you and celebrating the amazing success that you are in at right now, Hanan. How does the next 200 episodes look like for you? So what's your vision for that? Or what would you like to have for the next 200 episodes?
I can't look at the next 200. I'll look at the next 50. Maybe that's next season.
Okay.
And I'm envisioning continuation of the conversations, but now I want to be a bit more, a little bit kind of probing and provoking people. I don't try to create controversy in any way, but as I said, this has always been about being authentic and sharing your knowledge and your wisdom and your experiences and everything else. And I think to really get that from multiple viewpoints, I'm thinking the next season is going to be 2-3 guests at the same time to get multiple insights into everything that is happening in our lives. You know, we have a lot of changes that have been happening, especially that are impacting entrepreneurs and business people, you know, between rules that are changing and tariffs and there's a lot of fear over there. And if we listen to people who are either going through the experience, who we understand where the fear is coming from, or who have insights into what the solutions could be, you never know. We could be sparking new conversations that could support being empowered to grow in business. But there will always be that element of the empowerment is both for building a sustainable and prosperous business and being sustainable and prosperous yourself alongside. It's always about the human behind the business as well. So giving both ends, this is what I'm envisioning. And I'm hoping, inshallah, September is when I kick off, again, another summer project is I'm going to sit and kind of map out a few of the topics to at least get a kickstart for the first few episodes and think of who would be people who would add a lot of value just to bring them on the stage and to be able to interview them. So yeah, not interview them. Actually, now I really want it to be like this. I really want it to be a conversation. Just flow it off and cross
the talk show.
Yeah. In a way. Yeah. So that I'm excited. Until then, Empower to Grow store is hopefully, inshallah, going to keep people. For now, it's just mostly I think the products are women-oriented. But I'm hoping, inshallah, to also have another line for men. I'm trying to get my son to approve some of the designs. And it's like, no. So I'll put him on the side and get my husband to the thing. But yeah, again, another inclusive line so people could remind themselves and ground themselves and anchor themselves with the power within them. We all have that power within us. I think it's just sometimes we need to be reminded of it, not to be given it, just to be reminded. Every one of us has gone through so much in their lives. Again, going back to the cocoon and the butterfly, we have extracted ourselves from some of the worst situations that you would have never thought you could have been subjected to. And yet here you are, and you're thriving in your own way. And you have it within you. I think it's just You need to be reminded sometimes that you have it within you, that power within you to grow, to evolve. I think now there's a negative connotation when people use the statement to become the best version of yourself. I think every day is a best version of yourself, because when you show up with what you can do today, if that's as good as it gets, that's as good as it gets. That's just amazing. You showed up. I try to remind myself of this, and this is why I'm sharing it, that sometimes when I really don't want to show up, and you ladies know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, F this, I'm going to be in my cocoon for some time. Sometimes you need to be reminded by those that, you know, like yourselves, you're my tribe, those that are close to you, those that know you, those that have witnessed the power within you before, to remind you that you can do it again. You've done it before. You can do it again. It might be nastier this time. It might be a bit more ugly than it was before, but that doesn't mean that you're not up to it. And if this is anything, whether it's in your personal life, your business life, anything, every aspect of our lives, we just have to remind ourselves that this too shall pass. We might get hit. We might get, you know, kind of washed over by that tsunami coming in our faces, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to get up again and stand up and get out, lounge on the chair and lounge on the sun a bit, and then go back in again and get hit by another wave, because that is just a cycle of life.
And then on behalf of the thousands of people who have listened to the podcast and who have crossed paths with you and you've mentored and you've touched their lives, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for inspiring all of us, and thank you for guiding, and thank you for shining. And most important, thank you for always, always giving with no reservation and sharing all of your knowledge and so passionately. So thank you so much.
I'm so grateful for both of you. And I know when we were talking, I'm like, oh, the 200th episode. I was like, hang on a second. We'll interview you. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is like, I love it. Thank you for this very, very, very generous offer that you've done, that I, you know, to have the opportunity to be able to not take away from the guests that I had, because I try my best as much as I share to be able to give them the space. And for me today to have that space to be able to share everything that, you know, that's going through my mind and my learnings across, well, 47 years of my life, next week officially. It's been one hell of a ride. And I think every day I'm enjoying it a bit more. I'm still getting tidal waves washing me across, but that's okay, because I still get up, I dust off, and I say, okay, now what? Let's do what's next. And I think this is the beautiful thing, that both of you have also supported me and just reminding me of that we're able to do it when we have someone in our back, we have someone in our corner, you know, celebrating Esma as an author. Up back to that. Please don't, you know, everyone order her book. You know, Rana, we celebrate you, I think, every time we talk, because of all the growth on the business front, on the personal front, that you're going through with a lot of trauma that is being resolved for all of us. I think this is the essence that every woman, every man, every child just need to be reminded they have it within them to get up, to I don't want to bring it from a negative connotation, to fight the world. No, to prove to themselves that not that they're enough, but they're more than enough. And this has been my biggest healing lesson. I realized that, and I had an interview with David Foster, the life coach who saw that for me 5 years ago when I was on the call with him, and he kept saying, he said, I kept repeating, not good enough. I hadn't realized that actually it was 7 years ago. I hadn't realized that was something that I had felt, that it was conditioned into me, that you have to keep aspiring and doing more and everything else. And now I can say and believe, more importantly, not just say it, that I am more than enough. But that doesn't take away that I still have aspirations and I still have untapped potential and I still have dreams and visions to be able to realize and manifest a lot more for myself and for my family and for my community and everyone that I'm able to serve. And this is the wisdom that I have learned through 200 episodes and conversations on Empowered to Grow.
Aw, Hannah, I am so, I think we're, I'm sure we're both proud of you, proud of, first of all, the blessing of having you in our lives. I'll have, for my end, Noura to thank for making this podcast and start this beautiful friendship, and then for introducing me to the beautiful Rana and start this beautiful friendship as well. And I'm so honored to be part of your life. I'm so blessed to have you as a friend, as a sister, as a partner. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, my friend. You are, it's just the beginning for you. Yes, we celebrate the 200th episode, but very, very well with your potential and what you have to offer for this world. The world, you just have to be ready for what Hanan has to offer and what she's going to have.
Okay, so we started and ended it here. So thank you for that. I love you, ladies. This has been a blessing. Thank you to everyone who joined us today live. I hope that you got a lot of value from this beautiful conversation of amazing women on the call that I'm blessed to have in my life as well, Rana and Asma. You know, Rana, Hiba, Ali, everyone that kind of, their comments came through at least, because we don't always get the comments coming through. Thank you for your beautiful words. I'm so happy that it resonated with you. For everyone that is watching us and who will listen to us, I end every episode saying, I wish you love, abundance, and prosperity. And that empowered you empowers others. These are not just words. That's my personal belief system. When we are empowered, it's just, there is the ripple impact effect for everything and everyone in your lives. And just realizing that you could be at the epicenter of a positive impact ripple effect that could impact one person or can impact a million people. Imagine what would come out of that. Rather than tidal waves that crash into others, this tidal waves of giving and prosperity and positivity and empowerment, then others can rise and others can believe in themselves, to realize their visions, to tap into their potential, to serve from this place of abundance. We are all abundant. We might not feel it. I know I don't always feel it, or I didn't always feel it. But even if you might not be abundant financially now, you could be abundant in your knowledge. You could be abundant in your energy. What you bring to the world, that's on you. But that imprints on so many others. And I hope that you decide consciously to become that person that positively imprints on every person they run into. Whether that's saying good morning with a smile, whether that's saying to someone, I like how you look today, or nice suit, nice dress, nice shoes. Those small things, they literally can change a life around. And when you're in business and you're being challenged by market dynamics and business models that's shifting and AI coming to take everyone's job, it's not yet, but just to not take that away from you, you need to be grounded within you to be able to serve the world that your business can bring and can change visions and can impact economies. Imagine that. When your idea can literally impact your economy, your community, come from that place. You'll get the money, you'll get the fame and the recognition and the stages. That's all given. But when you bring that element, when you see that empowerment, everyone you are serving, whether you're creating a candy stick or you're creating the next, I don't know, electric car, there's always service, there's always community, there's always job opportunities and economic conditions that could be improved, and weather and climate and impact and inclusion come from that space. We're not ideal, we're not angels, but I know that we can all do just a little bit better in our lives that can impact others. So with that, thank you, my beautiful hosts, for the evening. Asma and Rana, I'm blessed to have you in my lives. In my life, I'm grateful for you both, and I do love you genuinely. And I know that together and separately, you know, we are working towards that empowered version of ourselves to be able to impact others. For everyone that's watching us, I wish you love, abundance, and prosperity. Don't forget to check out empowertogrow.store. I hope that you find the words resonating with you and to anchor yourself in that. And remember that empowered you empowers others. I'm going to take a break, and I'll see you back in September. But until then, I will work on the few projects that Rana and Esma have assigned me, and hopefully, you know, keep the waves coming along. But until then, take care, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Empowered to Grow podcast. I'll catch you on the next episode. And until then, know that empowered you empowers others. Love, abundance, and prosperity to you all.